Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us for the COVID-19 Senior Support Services Teletown Hall. My name is Tasha Berner-Horvath. It's an honor to serve you as your assembly member in Encinitas, Carlsbad, Oceanside Vista, and Camp Pendleton. You know, when I took office, I never thought I would be leading during a worldwide pandemic, and the governor declared a state of emergency due to the coronavirus in early March. And I was proud to vote to fund $1.1 billion for California's coronavirus response. And it's reassuring to know that this was a bipartisan, unanimous vote from both houses. Fast forward 6 weeks later, we know that our efforts to prevent the spread of the novel coronavirus have worked. We have flattened the curve, and it is essential that we continue to practice good physical distancing, stay home, wear our face coverings when we're in public, and practice good hygiene. And as we start to consider what a phased reopening looks like when the time is right, we need to continue to be committed to preventing the spread of the novel coronavirus, particularly for those who are most vulnerable to this virus. And for most of those listening, I think you'll know that means folks over 65 years old, anybody with underlying health conditions, that includes asthma, lung conditions, high blood pressure. It's a range of actually underlying conditions that are common among people in this district, and a weakened immune system. And even though we've made progress, it's super important for us to remember that virus hasn't gone away, and it's going to be a while till we have therapeutics to make sure that people can circulate safely. And so we've got a lot of calls in my assembly office. Sometimes they're about unemployment. Sometimes they're about small businesses. Sometimes it's about just what's going on and how to get the best information. But we know a lot of people are calling in with about services and resources available to our seniors and those at risk at this time. So today, I'm happy to be joined by several experts to help answer some of these really important questions we're getting. And so we have Kim Gallo, Director of Aging and Independent Services for San Diego County. We have Dr. Steve Huga, who's a geriatric psychiatrist with UC San Diego Health, and Christina Soda, who's Government and Community Relations Manager with Serving Seniors. But before I get started, and then we let our panelists give a brief introduction, I want to talk about some of the housekeeping logistics. So each expert will speak a little bit about their work in providing assistance to seniors, their role with the response to COVID-19, and a few of the common questions they're hearing from in their respective organizations. Afterwards, we'll ask the questions that you, our listeners, have submitted to our office. And just as a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, you can still email us at assemblymember.bernerhorvath, I know it's long, it's B-O-E-R-N-E-R, Horvath, H-O-R-V-A-T-H, all together, assemblymember.bernerhorvath@assembly.ca.gov. And just a reminder, if your question is not asked today, my staff will follow up with you directly, and we will also have future teletown halls where we do our best to address some of these questions as they come up. So I'm going to let our experts introduce themselves, tell you a little bit about their backgrounds and expertise, and how they're working to assist seniors. So I'm going to turn this over now to Kimberly. Let's start with you.
Good afternoon, and thank you for having me on the call today. My name is Kimberly Gallo, and I am the Director of Aging and Independent Services for the County of San Diego. And at Aging and Independent Services, we provide a wide range of services from healthy living classes to home-delivered meals through providers throughout the region of San Diego. We also oversee adult protective services and in-home support services. So we have a wide range of services available for seniors throughout all of San Diego County, and then we work closely with many of our local government partners that have specific aging departments. So I'm honored to be on this call today. I have worked for the county for over 20 years in various roles, from first five to our youngest constituents in our county, our 0-5 population, all the way up through public health, child welfare, and the last 2 years I've been in the aging department. So thank you for having me.
And thank you so much, Kim. So now let's go to Dr. Huga.
Great. Thank you so much for having me. My name is Steve Huga. I'm a geriatric psychiatrist and faculty member at UC San Diego School of Medicine. I direct our geriatric psychiatry fellowship program and work with different medical trainees in providing mental health care for older adults and seniors. Our program offers both inpatient and outpatient mental health treatment for older adults and supports for family members and caregivers.
Thank you. And then let's turn it to Christina Selder.
Hi, thank you. I'm here representing Serving Seniors. And Serving Seniors is a local nonprofit that's been around for 50 years. Our mission is to help San Diego's low-income and unsheltered older adults. We do that by providing them an integrated system of wraparound services, things like nutritional meal program, permanent and transitional affordable housing, health and social services, as well as enrichment activities and opportunities for advocacy. I just joined the Serving Seniors team in January, and it's been fantastic. Before that, I pursued a master's in gerontology at San Diego State, and I was co-founder of a nonprofit here in San Diego that advocated for assisted living residents and their families. And I'm happy to be here today to help out.
Thank you so much. Let's start with Kimberly. Can you give us a brief overview of what Aging and Independent Services is doing as part of the county's response efforts to COVID-19? I know you guys are doing a lot, and I know it's a very changing environment. I know we get, Newsom had a press conference, Governor Newsom, I should say, had a press conference today about beaches. So we know there's lots of, everybody at all levels of government are trying to help out. So maybe you could just help people understand what the county's been doing.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that are happening in addition to our normal services, which again is our in-home support services where we have over 30,000 seniors in San Diego County who receive in-home support services on a regular basis. That has been one of the areas that we've had to modify a little bit to make sure that our seniors who are at home still have the services they need during this pandemic, because as we know, our older adults have been the most impacted by this. We also have worked very rapidly with our 14 contracted meal providers, where we have doubled the amount of meals that we serve on a normal basis. Where last year, for an entire year, we served over a million meals through our 14 providers. And just last month, we had doubled that volume. So not a million, but probably about 200,000 meals were served last month. So some of those through our traditional Older Americans Act funding, and then we augmented all of our contracts to be able to get food to seniors who are homebound. And I know Christina is also on the call. Serving Seniors is one of our meal providers, and they have worked really hard to make sure that we were able to ramp up and to change from congregate meal sites where seniors would normally gather to getting them meals that they could either have home delivered or that they could pick up for a few days at a time. In addition, we're doing wellness checks to many of our clients who are at home and otherwise don't have anyone to speak with. And we've made over 11,000 calls as of this week to seniors who are in their homes, as well as converting some of our classes that are normally held at various senior centers into an online format. So there's a lot of things happening here in San Diego County that are available to help seniors in need.
Great. Well, I think it's reassuring to see, I know the county was doing so much beforehand, but to see how you're adopting, how you're adapting to making sure that people get the services they need. But we do know a lot of people, because there maybe some of the seniors are especially at risk of COVID-19, are struggling with depression and anxiety. Dr. Huga, what do you think seniors who are isolating at home, especially if they're at home alone, what's the best thing they could do to help mitigate some of the depression anxiety that they may feel during this crisis? Dr. Huga, do we have you? Might be on mute. Okay, well, we're waiting for Dr. Huga to sort out maybe a technology glitch that we have there. Let's move on to Christina. Serving Seniors is so great at providing assistance to our seniors as part of the COVID-19 response. What are you doing differently? How are you changed plans? What are you hearing from seniors? What do they need from our community or from our government?
Thank you. So what we have done, it's been impressive how fast, because I'm new here, so I'm seeing this through the lens like a regular community member, how quickly Serving Seniors turned on a dime to be able to serve. I think home-delivered meals was the number one issue. So when the state required all congregate meal sites to be closed, we quickly had to transition all of our clients to home-delivered meals, and we serve over thousands of seniors a day, and we're their primary source of nutrition. So to be able to convert everyone over to home delivered, and also to be able to open up some opportunities at a couple of our hub sites, one of those is in Oceanside, to offer to-go meals that folks can drive to and pick up. And particularly downtown, unsheltered older adults are using that as an opportunity to still receive their meals. So as Kim mentioned, we went from serving in February under 60,000 folks each month to over 70,000 last month, and where our projections show that by May and June we'll be well over 100,000. So the need is really big. I would say the second need is the need for supplies. So there's that conflict of you're running out of soap, and you need the soap, but you also want to stay home and self-isolate. So I know stores have opened up and done special hours for older adults, but I would say that for our population that we're serving low-income seniors, that we've started a program where there's a supply request form that they can fill out. We've also launched a connections program that is having volunteers, similar to what the county's doing, call 3 times a week to just check in, to just remind seniors that they matter and to say hello, and then also to see if that there's any needs that they do need, we can connect them with our health and social services team. I know the governor has launched a similar program, and so I would say the best ways to help would be, and what the biggest needs are, is people being checked on, and if they, you know, their needs being met, just basic needs. So if you can find opportunities or ways to volunteer and serve in that capacity or reach out to your neighbors, that would be the most valuable.
I think that hits on three really important parts, right? There's this, we see it in all demographics, the need to make sure people are fed and housed. And so I thank you so much for your service and making sure people are being fed and stepping that up and ramping that up. And, you know, it may continue for a while and people may struggle for a while. So I think it's really important that we don't forget that connection piece of how to reach out to those who need it. I know what I do every day, I try to, you know, everybody can squeeze in a couple calls. So I try every day to go through my phone and find some folks that I haven't heard from in a while and just check on them, see how they're doing, and making sure that they're having that contact. We have Dr. Huga back on the line, so I'd like to ask him, you know, especially when we're looking at seniors who are isolating at home, how do we help them mitigate depression and anxiety that could come during this time of uncertainty and a disease that really targets older adults?
Sure. No, I think that's a great question. I think first and foremost is taking care of oneself and, you know, keeping in touch. Even though the requirement is to isolate physically, I think it's important not to isolate emotionally. So I would definitely encourage seniors during this time to keep up their contacts, stay in touch with friends, family, either by telephone or by using, mobile devices, things like FaceTime. Also, really paying careful attention to one's emotional and mental health. If you are currently in treatment for depression or anxiety, keeping up that treatment as much as possible, making sure that you're getting adequate sleep, getting time outdoors, even if it's like going for a walk around your neighborhood or spending time outside, that time outside and connecting with others is going to be really important. Also being careful about not overusing alcohol or other substances, of trying to minimize the use of those as much as possible.
I think that's good advice for anybody of any ages, I think, make sure you're getting outside. I know my family and I, we do a little bit of yoga in the morning, and then, during the day when they're taking, they're taking a break from their schoolwork, and I'm hopefully getting 15 minutes to do something else, we'll go for a quick walk around the neighborhood or do some gardening, and in the evening try to get out and again and either go for a bike ride, or sometimes we'll do a family dance party. So, but I think it's important for people of all ages to really get enough rest, get enough, eat well, and those are kind of some of the preconditions. One of the things we've heard, Dr. Hooga, is that some people are even more depressed and anxious because they're getting such an influx of information on the disease if they have the TV on. What do you suggest for those folks?
I think that that's a really important point. I'm glad you brought that up. I think that it's important to stay informed, but I think everybody has to be careful about getting overly saturated with news. I think scheduling it, trying to limit it, also being aware of your own personal tolerance for information and media. I think that when people are home and when there aren't other activities to fill that time and space, I think it's very easy to turn on the news, watch or listen to the news, watch, consume news online, for example. And so I think setting sort of a daily budget of news time or media time, I think, is going to be really important. But also kind of going back to, it's really important to fill this time with nurturing activities, really things that take care of oneself.
Yeah, I think that's so important. I think sometimes self-care, in times of anxiety or wondering where that next meal is coming from, we forget that we also have to take care of ourselves. That makes us more resilient during these times of stress. So I think that's super important. So in addition to serving seniors, what other options are available for meal services for seniors in North County? If somebody wanted to get more information about these meal programs, where would they go? And maybe, Kim, I'll direct that to you first, and then anybody else can chime in.
Yes. So we have meal providers throughout San Diego County, as I mentioned. We have over 14 different providers throughout the county that serve different zip codes. The best way is to either call 211, because they are a contracted partner of ours who help get people to the right program and can provide you a list of resources in your particular zip code, along with phone numbers and contact information. And then you can also call our AIS call center, which is open 24 hours a day, and that's a line for seniors specifically in San Diego County, and it may be for any question that they have, whether it's on meals, housing, fitness, an adult protective issue, elder abuse. Anybody can call our hotline at 1-800-339-4661 and get advice and information. So I think that that's a great resource. And then I did just want to also really quickly highlight the line that the state of California has set up, and it's called the Friendship Line. And that is a 24-hour toll-free lifeline that's dedicated to serving Californians over 60 who may be feeling anxious, fearful, or lonely. And the Friendship Line is both a crisis intervention hotline and a warm line for non-emergency emotional support. And that is at 1-888-670-1360. One of the challenges that our seniors face under normal circumstances is social isolation, but COVID has really elevated that concern, and some people don't have a family member that's available to check on them or call. So if they are feeling lonely, they can call this line and speak to somebody. So I think it's just a nice addition to what's happening right now in our state.
And I couldn't agree more. I think it's wonderful. I think part of the state's COVID 19 response has been very holistic. It's looking at it from multiple angles. So it's not just from the public health angle, or not just from what we who are dealing with it every day called, how do you control movement so you can control the spread of the virus? We talk about some kind of very detailed information like that. But, you know, how do we make sure those people who need food are getting food, who are self-isolating? How are those people who just need someone to talk to because they're not out chatting with their neighbors and, you know, my mom goes to a knitting club and all those different things. How do we make sure that they're being checked on? And I think that's a really wonderful opportunity with the friendship line. Staying on the kind of theme of meals and essential needs, and Kim, we've talked about this. We've recently heard that about the program the governor announced to provide 3 meals a day for eligible seniors. Is there an update to this program? I know everybody wants to roll it out as soon as possible, but everybody wants to be thoughtful on how they're doing it. How is the county reacting to that, and what are the thoughts and the kind of the process looking forward? So we can give some information, whatever it is we have at this point.
Yeah, we are working through right now the eligibility criteria. So the eligibility criteria was 65 or otherwise high risk as defined by the CDC, and an individual must live alone or with one other program eligible adult. They cannot be currently receiving assistance from any federal nutrition program. So if they're receiving home-delivered meals already, CalFresh, and that, they would not be eligible. And then income is less than $74,000 for a household of one and $100,000 for a household of two, and they have to show that they are unable to prepare or obtain meals. Unfortunately, we don't have all of this worked out yet. We just got the program information, and so we are working very closely with the Office of Emergency Services and the California Department of Aging to see how we might be able to make a program like this work in San Diego. So hopefully by the next week to 10 days, we'll have additional information, which we will be sure to get to you to push out to the individuals who are on this call or who have a registered email with you to get that information out to the public.
Yeah, and I think it's so important, with how fast things are moving, that you are being thoughtful. I think that eligibility criteria, I've got personally a lot of questions from constituents of, it's eligible seniors, what is eligibility? And so I think just the information you just provided now, Kim, that's helpful just to understand who would be eligible, because I even haven't heard that information before. So thank you for sharing that. And again, as soon as we get that information in the next, 10 days to 2 weeks, we'll make sure we push it out to our constituents and our districts, our partners, in the senior and aging space. And I am fortunate to sit on the Aging and Long-Term Care Committee within the Assembly, so I know we'll be getting updates when we go back to Sacramento next week. So thank you for that. Some of the stores are providing senior hours, and I think somebody had mentioned this. If somebody wanted to find out without going to the store, what's the best way to find out when there are special senior hours? Do they need to bring anything with them? Do they have to bring their ID? How is that working for folks?
211 actually has this information on their website at 211sandiego.org, and they list the stores that are participating in the special senior hours and what access they might need or what identification they would need. We don't have, obviously, control over what individual stores do, but we know that a lot of them are offering the early morning hours and that. But I think because it's updated on a regular basis, I would recommend that people go on the 211 website or that they call 211 so that they're not, going out and having it not be available at this point in time.
Well, and I think that's great. That's a great resource because, you know, it is changing all the time. And to know that there's one place to go to check out what the hours are. And, you know, when I was first hearing that stores were carding seniors during senior hours, I thought, you know, if I were 65, I'm not sure I would ever get carded again. So that puts a new spin on that. So that's interesting. Thank you for sharing that information. So we were talking about how I think Christina, you had mentioned this, seniors who are homebound getting the basic needs that they could go and register. What are some other ways that seniors who are homebound can get things like toilet paper and soap and cleaning supplies?
Right. So that's a very good question, and I actually do not have an answer. So I'll defer to the county. I spent a little bit of time before this call trying to look for resources. My recommendation would be that 211 perhaps would have that info, or AIS's hotline. But Kim, I'll defer to you.
Yeah, again, calling 211 is the best way to access these resources because they have not only government and county-sponsored programs, but they have the information on various nonprofits and volunteer organizations throughout the county who are offering these type of services. I always say it takes a village, and this is the time that we really need the entire village to be stepping it up. And it's something that, you know, some of our nonprofits have access when they're delivering, you know, home-delivered meals, that they may be able to bring some additional items. But for if there is a senior at home and cannot get that, I would recommend you call 211, or, again, you can call our AIS call center at 1-800-339-4661 because there is a lot of partners out there. I've seen even recently some new organizations setting up that are doing this type of work in the community.
Thank you. I think that's so important. It just is so heartwarming to show that the community, when you say new organizations that are stepping up, you know, I think it's been, you know, if there is a silver lining, it's how close-knit our communities are and supporting one another. When we think about seniors leaving home or going to the doctor, do you have any special advice for seniors when they leave? Obviously starting Friday, but hopefully everybody's been doing it for a while. The face masks or the face coverings. What are some other things that folks should think about when they're leaving their home for an essential trip, such as grocery shopping or going to the doctor? Anybody have any want to jump on that one?
Yeah, I'm happy to discuss that a little bit. I think certainly taking good precautions, wearing a face covering of some kind, making sure that you wash your hands frequently, you know, really just avoiding touching your face and nose and eyes as much as possible. That's a big entryway for viruses and other germs. Trying to maintain social distancing as much as possible. You know, these are all things that I think are critical for when folks, particularly seniors, do go out or start going out more often.
Well, I think that's really good. And maybe, Dr. Hugo, you could address this. You know, we've started getting reports that folks who are sick and potentially having a heart attack or potentially having a stroke are afraid to go to the doctor because of the COVID-19 risk. Can you give us some advice? Like, if you think you're having symptoms of a serious medical condition, should you stay home and call your doctor, or should you still call an ambulance and go to the ER?
That's a really good question. It's actually one that I've even encountered in my own practice. You know, if you're concerned that you're having a life-threatening event, I would absolutely encourage people to call 911, go, you know, get medical treatment immediately. I know hospitals are and health systems are taking a lot of precautions. People are being screened. So I can understand the concern about contracting COVID is very real and is a concern, but you know, I would never recommend, though, that anybody who is worried that they're having some kind of life-threatening medical crisis defer treatment, whether that's, you know, contacting 911 if you know, you're in immediate danger, or reaching out to your primary care provider.
Yeah, I think that's really good. I mean, I was hearing on a different call from our hospitals, and they said the COVID-19 patients are being kept in one area, so when patients are coming into the ER, they are protected from COVID-19 as much as physically possible. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, that is. I mean, the health systems, I can speak for UCSD in particular, you know, they're really taking very careful safeguards. To give you an example, for our inpatient senior behavioral health unit, all our patients are screened for COVID prior to coming onto the unit. So it is really important that because this is going on, people should still, you know, address, take care of their medical needs, whether that's urgent or even non-urgent needs. Still stay in touch with your medical providers on a regular basis, just as you would under normal circumstances. That may involve switching to different modalities of working with them and seeing them, whether that's on the telephone or by video visits. But absolutely, this should, if anything, this is a time where we need to be especially mindful of our health and well-being and not neglect those things that we need.
Yeah, and I think that's so important to not put off those things that are critical for your health now. And I think the governor just changed kind of the executive order related to elective surgeries last week. So I think, you know, people will start getting calls to, you know, come in for some of those, you know, they may not be urgent surgeries, but they're important and just surgeries that have to be done in a timely manner. So that's also helping. And if you know, my understanding is if a doctor's calling up and saying we'd like you to come in, then they are providing the precautions and it's safe for people to come in. So,
absolutely.
I think that's really
And it's really important to, if you're concerned, have that discussion with your healthcare provider, with your physician. You know, speak with them about your concerns, because that's what we're here for. We want to hear your concerns, and it's a collaborative partnership. We want to work together to make sure you're getting the health care that you need.
Exactly. And so maybe what are some ideas for social connection that you might suggest, Dr. Huga, for seniors that don't have access to a computer? Because I think you mentioned doctor's appointments by phone and by video. You know, for some of our senior friends, you know, the access to the computer thing and, you know, being technology savvy, some of them are great at it, and I'd say even better than me and my kids, and some of them, some folks struggle. So how do people stay socially connected when they don't have access to a computer?
Sure. So I think, you know, obviously telephone is a key way to stay connected to people, so calling friends, family. Also, you know, visiting with neighbors but maintaining adequate social distancing measures. You know, staying connected to people in your neighborhood. If you have somebody who lives near you in your neighborhood who's older and, you know, is at risk for being isolated, you know, I would just suggest going over and checking on that person, you know, knocking on their door, seeing how they're doing. Again, maintaining proper social distancing, but even just that sort of brief interaction, I think, can really be a positive and kind of be the highlight of somebody's day, letting them know that you care about them, that you're engaged, I think is really important.
Yeah, I when we go out on our daily walks, I always try to do it when I see that one of my neighbors is in her front yard tending to her roses. And so we try to go out and just on our way, just on passing, you know, not gathering, not stopping, but just to say hi and check in and make sure she's doing okay. I think that's a really good piece of advice to follow county guidance. But, you know, you're right, that brief interaction could be the highlight of some of these days, because some of our friends and neighbors, you know, they're not getting a call from someone every day. So I think that's a great way to go about that. One of our biggest questions we've gotten, and I've gotten from many of my friends, is it okay for grandchildren to visit seniors? Grandma and Grandpa. This
sure.
is a very big, contentious question among my circle of mom friends.
No, I'm glad you brought that up, because it's definitely a question that I've heard. I think it you have to look at each person individually. I think that I have patients who are, you know, in their 80s, 90s, who are otherwise in very robust health, and I have patients who are in their 60s who have a lot of comorbid medical problems or immune compromised. And so I think it really depends on your own situation, what kind of work are your other family members doing? What might they be exposed to in terms of occupational exposures? I think that it's probably a question that's best discussed with your primary care physician or provider, because each person is unique. I think that on the one hand, you want to maintain that family social contact, but I think you have to be mindful of your own particular health situation and history.
Yeah, I think that's good. What we've often done with my kids is we've done Zoom calls with or Skype with my husband's family to make sure that we're staying in touch, or my mom will give my kids a call or we'll call my mom. And so that's how I think we've done that because they're not in the immediate vicinity. So I think there are lots of ways to do that also without being in person. But, yeah, it's a struggle for many families. I think it's good advice to have, you know, it's best taken up with the doctor and primary care physician. So that's really good.
I know some communities have done things like putting on, like, drive-bys, you know, so where, you know, family members will kind of caravan outside a person's house and shows of support in that way so that you can physically see the person but aren't in close proximity or close contact.
And this
That's
is
a great idea. I haven't thought about that. That's a wonderful idea.
I'd like to make the suggestion, something that we did here at Serving Seniors was right when the pandemic started and the stay-at-home order was issued, all of these children were home with nothing to do, and a lot of seniors are now self-isolating, so we created a letter-writing campaign. So telephone is great, but before telephone we used to use snail mail with just stamps and letters, and I think this is a great opportunity for us to rekindle that with letter writing and cards, and there's still that connection that happens at a distance.
I think that's a great idea, and I think it's really great for kids. We actually had a funny anecdote today. I'd asked my daughter for a project because she's going to write a letter to one of her grandparents, and we asked my daughter to go, she's 9, to go get some stamps. And both my son, who's 12, and my daughter, who's 9, is like, well, we have a couple of stamps, but they've been used a couple times. And both my husband and I look at each other, and we said, used a couple times? How do you reuse a stamp? And then we realized they didn't know what a postage stamp was. So there's always a teaching moment in life that this could bring forward. So I think that's a great idea to encourage letter writing, and I think it's great for the kids to do that. So that's wonderful. So when we look at this, what can community members do to support seniors? We all just talked about writing letters. Where could they find, is there a central repository of like volunteering activities, or should they contact each of the cities? Should they contact 211? Is there like a central coordination for that, or are there a couple places that people can volunteer?
This is Kim. This is Kim. I don't know if you can hear me. Oh, yeah, or if I'm unmuted.
Yes, you can. You're on.
Yeah. Okay, great. There is, in San Diego County, community members can go to justserve.org or volunteermatch.org, or there's also createthegood.aarp.org that you can find volunteer activities that might be able to be done from home or in person. You can also call 211 because I know that they can refer to food banks and other food pantries that are maybe distributing items and meals. So that would be a couple of options there. We also have on our county page at aging.sandiegocounty.gov We have a lot of opportunities to stay connected because we do weekly email blasts, and we have biweekly telebriefings on Friday. So our next one is next Friday from 4 to 5, that specifically focuses on issues impacting older adults during COVID. So just those are a couple of ways that people can get information.
Yes, and I usually say this is a close, but we are getting so many good resources that what we'll do is we'll go through this call, we'll pull all those resources. On my assembly website, I do have a COVID-19 resource page, and we'll make sure that we update that with all the information we're getting here, because there's even a couple new things that I've learned today. So when we are thinking about seniors who need access to medical professionals and they don't have access to a computer or the phone for telehealth, what is the best thing that they can do?
So I think it's
the best
really
thing
depends.
That, yeah.
You know, I think it depends on the nature of the condition that's being treated. I think that there are some things that just do require in-person assessments and treatments. Again, I think going back to having a discussion with your physician, discussing, how can you get the medical care that you need while balancing safety and trying to mitigate the chances of contracting COVID. I think it's going to be really important. The telephone, some things can be accomplished, but sometimes an inpatient visit is required. And, at UCSD, we're taking lots of precautions, using personal protective equipment, social distancing, things like that.
Perfect. We have a lot of still other categories, so I'm going to try to get through a couple of questions in there, kind of a hodgepodge of different aspects. So it's starting to warm up, and some of our seniors are asking, how do we keep cool now if we don't have air conditioning in our apartments and the cool zones are now closed? What should folks do in case of a heat wave?
This is Kim. The good news is that the county or aging and independent services, we're working right now to explore ways to open a limited number of cool zones up over the next couple of weeks that we would be utilizing appropriate social distancing protocols. So I will also get that information to you as soon as it is available. You can also call our AIS call center, and that's the 800-339-4661. And then on our website, we have a cool zone link, which can give you a variety of tips to keep cool, such as, taking cool showers, avoiding the use of the oven, drinking more fluids, wearing lightweight and loose-fitting clothing. But I do encourage you all to keep track over the next 2 weeks as we work with SDG&E, who is our partner for cool zones, to kind of launch a modified version of our normal cool zones.
Oh, that would be exciting. I know there are some folks, I get a lot of questions, especially from Vista and Eastern Oceanside, the more inland areas.
Yes, definitely.
What we're doing about cool zones. So, yeah, yes. a little hotter there. So I look forward to sharing that information with my constituents. So now we're going to switch to something else, and it's about senior care facilities. I think, people have been hearing on the news about outbreaks and we call them congregate settings, I think, when the county reports on them, about senior care facilities to support our residents. So if a family member is there, how can they support their loved one in a senior care facility? Because I believe at this point they're not allowed to go visit them. So what are the best ways to support your family member in a senior care facility?
This is Chrissy. I'll put on my former hat and mention that I spent some time on the state's website today because that's who licenses assisted living facilities. And every facility will be different. My understanding is that there some can have visiting hours limited, some won't. All of the communication, though, between the residents and their families and the facility should be ongoing. My suggestion would be if you're not clear on what's going on in the assisted living facility, you can always contact licensing and they could help you understand the parameters of the facility that your loved one's at. And that phone number for the local regional office is 619-767-2300. I've seen, through listservs and social media that I follow, that there's a lot of creative things going on out there where residents will sit on, 6 feet of social distancing, where some facilities are setting that up, where they are using iPads and technology to be able to, or laptops to be able to do Zoom with residents, and that they've got call schedules and they are accommodating that. So I think that we're only limited by our imagination, and it's just working with facilities and the administrators and the staff there to facilitate those opportunities.
Well, that's very inspiring. It's great to hear that people are being innovative on how to stay in touch with their loved ones. We're getting close to the end in a few minutes. If we had a crystal ball, and the governor has come up with his phases, his phase one, which is where we are now, where we're testing, tracking, and tracing. County, I think, unveiled their T3 strategy yesterday. There's probably more to come. But as we had a crystal ball and we look forward to phase two, which is the slight opening up of the economy, phase three is kind of where the more, contact intensive type of services like nail salons and estheticians and hairstylists come out. And then phase four, which is once we have some sort of therapeutic, either an antiviral or a vaccine or something like that. When we have a crystal ball, what do we think going from phase one to phase two will look like for seniors over 65? Will it still be recommended that they stay home and they self-isolate? What do we think that's going to look like? Is anybody willing to venture, no one's going to hold you to this, but if we were looking at that crystal ball, what do we think that's going to look like? Kim, are you willing to venture an answer?
I mean, this is Kim. I think one of the challenges with, first of all, I'm not a medical doctor, so I can't say from a medical perspective, but I do think that given the impact that this virus has had on our older adult population and those with underlying health issues or disabilities have been especially hard hit, I don't know that between the phase one and phase two that we're going to see a lot of changes for this particular age group that we are serving. So I think one of the good things as more things become open and available is that will help with kind of service delivery that, seniors will be able to go to their doctors as needed, a little more freely, and I think that, for provisions that they need for their home, toilet paper and all of that, hopefully that will become, easier to get, and that we will have worked out all of the meal requests and needs to do that. So, but I think we have a little bit to go with this particular population of seniors because when you look at the number of cases and that information that comes out daily, we know that this is a group that's very vulnerable and that we need to do our best to protect and keep them safe. So that would be my input.
I think that's great. I think that's my understanding, too, is as long as the coronavirus is out and about, our seniors are at risk. And I think that's, we want to protect those loved ones from any of the severe impacts of this disease. Shifting gears to something different, we've passed a bunch of laws in the legislature about robocalls and scams, but there are still some scams out there. What scams are kind of the most common right now that we're hearing about, and how should our seniors protect themselves, and where can they get more information about how to protect themselves from becoming scammed or being scammed?
Yeah. And unfortunately, seniors are often targeted, whether it's robocalls or through some of these, fake home repairs. I know that we've seen recently with, stimulus checks and different, IRS scams that are happening. We do have information on our website about how on elder abuse, because financial abuse is one of the largest areas of elder abuse, and we have an actual entire task force with the sheriff, district attorney, and many partners throughout the region, our elder abuse task force that works on these particular issues. We always tell people you should not be giving out, your personal information, and especially now when seniors are feeling a bit isolated, sometimes the somebody calling, they tend to stay on the phone longer and share more information than they should. But we always advise seniors, never give out Social Security information, never send money directly or get cashier's checks and things like that. And if you do think that you have been the victim of elder abuse, please call our AIS hotline.
I think that's excellent. I think I just did a public service announcement. I record these video messages on PSAs. And I encourage everybody to share them, because one was on senior scams around COVID-19. The IRS is never going to ask you for your bank routing number on the phone. So I think there's a couple things. Like, when people are asking for that personal information, I think that should be a big red flag for everybody that this may not be legitimate. And it's so disheartening to think, in a time where so many people are stepping up and coming together, there are some people who want to take, abuse and take advantage of that situation. So when we're looking at this, what if somebody needs, or what's the current guidance if a home health care aide is needed? If somebody, some people's health has devolved during this period, or they don't have family who can come in and take care of them anymore. So is there current guidance of if they do need a home health care aide right now? Kim, maybe that's you?
Yeah, and that would depend. There are programs that are available in San Diego County, and some of them are paid programs, some are through health insurance, and some are through in-home support services. So there's also, medical versus non-medical home care, which is regulated by the California Department of Social Services. So home health care is regulated by the Center for Medicare and Medicaid. So there's two websites. If it's for non-medical type home care, so that's somebody to be in the home to assist with basic living things like showering, maybe toileting, transportation to a doctor's appointment, grocery shopping, those would be through the California Department of Social Services. And then for home health care, they would work through the CMS.gov. And then for families that maybe just need some caregiver support, we have a great organization in San Diego, the Caregiver Coalition, and they are at caregivercoalitionsd.org. And they have many resources, such as educational webinars, and they have listings of partner organizations such as Southern Caregiver Resource Center, Alzheimer's San Diego, Alzheimer's Association, that also have education and support services. But another way, too, is you can also call our AIS hotline, and I keep bringing up that number, but that may help somebody understand what services they may be available, because there are obviously different income requirements for some of these programs.
Sure. I want to know how you know all of those resources off the top of your head. I think I'm very impressed with the number of numbers you could just peel off. You don't know which questions I'm going to ask, and you have that resource right in front of you. So it's incredibly impressive. I did want to ask about testing. And I know Christina has a comment. We'll come back to you. But testing, we're getting a lot of questions. I know the county just changed some of the guidance around testing for COVID-19. Is getting tested for COVID-19 recommended for our seniors? And if so, are there any criteria? And is there different criteria for seniors than somebody else?
Sure. So I think, again, I would recommend that you reach out to your primary care provider, because that's going to be the person who knows your specific health situation the best. As far as I'm aware, I don't think blanket screening, you know, there's a question of whether or not, you know, asymptomatic folks who are completely asymptomatic should be tested or not. I know that's something that is evolving in terms of the recommendations on that. Certainly, I think if you're having symptoms of any kind, reach out through your primary care provider, find out the testing means that they would recommend.
Thank you. I think that's super helpful.
Also, I would say that
we still need to go to doctors. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say also on the daily press briefing that the County of San Diego is doing, I would just encourage people to listen for the new T3 guidelines where they're going to be rolling out the different phases of testing and kind of the order that will be given for the priority for testing, or to check back on the County of San Diego, the coronavirus SD webpage as the T3 model rolls out to the different phases that will highlight where to get tested, who has priority moving forward. And then, of course, as Dr. Hughes says today, to also check with your primary care physician if you think you need to be tested.
And I think that's really great because I know to open our economy, we need to more widely test. We need to be able to trace people who have become positive so we can kind of control the disease and the virus in a more nuanced way than just, you know, everybody staying home. So, Christina, I think, did you have a comment that I missed?
I did. I just wanted to offer, when we were on the subject of volunteers, that if folks are looking to volunteer serving seniors, we'd be more than happy to have you come and volunteer with us. And I was going to give the phone number for Ellie Leedy, who's in charge of coordinating volunteers. Her phone number is 619-487-0605. And we're having a lot of fun with our volunteers during this time, and it's been really great. So I invite you to join us.
Thank you. I think that's an excellent note to go into our final thoughts with. So I think we've heard a lot about how seniors can get resources, the number of resources they have. I think sometimes that can be confusing to navigate. So hopefully for those listening, this has been helpful to understand where do you go for what. And I think my answer that I will tell when people say, if I don't know where they go for what, I'm going to say 211-SANDIEGO. .org. I think that's what I'm going to say. The .org or .gov, Kim?
It's .org.
.org. I got it right. So that's where I'm going to tell people to go. Lots of resources. And I think that shows that San Diego's commitment to serving our seniors. And I think that comes from a deep love of our community, of knowing that our elders and older adults have created and maintained this beautiful place where we get to call home. And, you know, people live in multi-generational households. There are ways to stay physically distanced without socially isolated is also what I've heard. I've heard there are ways to do self-care. Probably applies to everybody, but especially those who are self-isolating. Ways to control the amount of information you're letting in that could exacerbate depression or anxiety. I've heard that we're serving our seniors. Lots of ways to really make sure that the people are being fed. That's such a basic need, is to be housed and to be fed. And everybody's really coming together to do a great job. So with that, this is such an informative discussion. Experts, I'd like to hand it back over to you to share any final thoughts or resources that maybe we haven't covered, though we've covered a lot, but if there's one that you'd like to re-highlight and say this is the one, yeah, we'll go ahead and do that. So maybe let's start with you, Christina.
My final thoughts would be, first, thank you so much for inviting us to come. And as a gerontologist, I would say that all the older adults on the phone right now, this is the opportunity to speak up to your assembly members about the issues that you're experiencing. Food insecurity and social isolation and the like were happening pre-COVID, and right now it's just exacerbated. So I think it's great that we kind of have this opportunity to get together to talk about things and maybe have some novel ideas, you know, no pun intended, on the back end of this that really address some of these major issues for older adults, because we'll all be there in the future. So thank you.
Yes, I think that's That's a great, that's a great point because, on the Assembly Committee on Aging and Long-Term Care, we talk about the Master Plan for Aging. We talk about the Silver Tsunami. We know that this population's going to grow, and we have many challenges ahead. So whether it's coronavirus or COVID-19 or something else, I know my office is always open. My email address is assemblymember.bernerhorvath. I know you'll have to look at it. Just Google Tasha Assemblymember, and then you'll figure it out. Assemblymember.bernerhorvath@assembly.ca.gov. We're always happy to hear your thoughts. And thank you so much, Christina, for joining us today. Dr. Huga.
Yes.
Hello? Any final comments, any thoughts? Yes, I can hear you. Any final comments or thoughts that you'd like to share?
Really, I just want to thank you for inviting me and for hosting this. I think this has been a great discussion. I think, again, taking good care of yourself, minding your health, and also perhaps using this as an opportunity to try new things out, explore new hobbies and interests, but stay connected in ways that are healthy. And, again, if you're concerned, if you have questions, follow up with your primary care provider. That's the person who knows you best and who can help guide you through these uncertain times.
Yeah, and I think that's excellent advice for people of all ages. So thank you so much, Dr. Huga. And Kim, you are a wealth of resources, phone numbers, websites. I want to thank you so much for being on this call today. Any final comments you'd like to leave our listeners with?
No, I just also want to echo my thanks to you. Since this has started, we've been talking with your office and your staff because you bring forward these issues that are very important to your constituents and to all of us here in San Diego County. Seniors are often forgotten, and I think that this is a wake-up call for all of us, not only in government, but as a community, that we need to come together. Our seniors deserve to be treated with dignity, respect, and to have their basic needs met. And it takes more than just government to do that. So I'm just really proud of our community's way of handling this and really looking for ways that they can serve and to check in on people. So other than all the numbers that I've given in the website today, I would just say to anybody on here, check on your neighbor, check on a family member, anybody in your community, because this is really what San Diego is about, and what makes us so great is that feeling of community and coming together in really tough times. So I want to thank you for all you're doing and for your advocacy for seniors. And that's all for today.
Thank you, Kim. Thank you. So I want to thank your experts, thank your listeners for joining us today. Everybody out there, please make sure to maintain your physical distancing. Wash your hands like you're Lady Macbeth. Stay home. If you have to go out for essential activities, wear your face coverings when you leave your home. Make sure you're getting out with your face coverings and taking that walk in your neighborhood. You know, physically distance with no gathering. Check on your neighbors. There's lots of stuff we can all do, and I want to echo what Kim said. That is what makes us special. What makes us special is we come together when things are hard, and we support one another. So thank everybody for all the things they're doing and for being here today. This recording will be available on my assembly member website. That's a76.asmdc.org. I'll say that again, a76.asmdc.org. We will also list and make sure we update our COVID-19 site for all the additional resources we heard about today. If anybody has any issues or questions related to seniors or related to anything, we have a lot of people that are worried about where do they get foods, where do they sign up for meals, how do they get unemployment insurance, please make sure you call my office at 760-434-7605. My team is amazing, and they're here to serve you. So please watch your inboxes and social media for my next Teletown Hall next week. And thank you all for joining us.